Okay, well, my Bible's on Matthew, so let's go to John. Let's go to John. Go to John. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Now, this is one of the miracles that Jesus performed. How many of you know that Jesus performed a lot of miracles? Everybody say he performed a lot of miracles. Right. Right. So it basically means that if you stand in need of one, how many of you know that he can do that
yes,
too?
Yes, right? Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
So he performed a lot of miracles. And if you stand in need of one, let me encourage you today through this passage of scripture, just let me encourage you, period, through the word of God, that Jesus is a miracle working God. It's what he does. He specializes in doing those kind of things, right?
Amen.
So let's take a look first, and as we go into John, I want to share some things with you about John. So John's gospel is both topical and it's chronological.
Right.
So in other words, you see, in John's gospel, what John tries to do is not tries to do, but what John successfully does is he displays Jesus as deity, as the Son of God. When you look in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in those Gospels, each one of them depict Jesus in a different light. Matthew shows him as King of the Jews, whereas Mark shows him as the tireless servant. And so when you read the Gospel, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's a historical account of Jesus' life, but at the same time, you're able to see him from the different vantage points of who he was to those particular people.
Yes.
And so, and John uses things, right? It's interesting because when you look at the book of John, John uses things like, he says words like, the next day.
Yeah.
And then he says, the first day. Mm-hmm. Then he says, the day after. And he says, like, and then the day following. And then he also says things like, and after these things. Then he goes on and he uses events and times. For instance, he uses the feast. So he says it was the feast of the Jews, and then it was another feast, and then it was another feast. So whenever you're reading the book of John and you begin to see these chronological events, what he's trying to show you is what was going on at that time in the ministry of Jesus Christ, right? And so when you look at John, so that's what you want to look at. So you want to pay attention to those kind of things, right? The chronology of it. But it's more topical than it is chronological, but he kind of mixes them both, right? Now, what is really interesting is John has seven miracles.
All right.
There are seven miracles recorded in John, right? And which also is seven I am statements are also recorded in John. Mm-hmm. You see? So John was fascinated, apparently, by seven. So he used seven, and you know, he used also words like believe and things of that nature, right? So trying to kind of hone his point and kind of make his message clear that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. So the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle, again, like I said earlier, is the only miracle found in all four Gospels. The feeding of the 5,000. All the other miracles that Jesus did, some you will find in Matthew, some you'll find in Mark, some you'll find in Luke, some you'll find in John, but the feeding of the 5,000 is in all of them. What's interesting about the feeding of the 5,000, right, is the message that it portrays. What's interesting about it is what it shows about Jesus, right? Number one, it shows that he is sovereign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It shows he's sovereign. Number two, it shows that he has power, you know, over everything, that he can take fish and bread and multiply it, mm-hmm. right, so that 5,000 people could eat. You know, and so it really depicts to his power, his sovereignty, right? So but it's really an encouragement to you to let you know that no matter wherever you may be in your lack or in your need thereof,
yes, God.
He can take what little that you have
yes.
and multiply it
yes.
and feed 5,000 people
yes.
still.
Amen.
How do you know that?
Lord. Yes, God.
Amen. So we're always excited about that. So that's the first thing. So let's get into the message a little bit. I got a couple bullets. And we're going to be fine. I'm definitely not going to keep you long. Again, I'm not sure if any of y'all follow sports as much as I do. I mean, I do know that the Philadelphia Eagles are the champions. They did win the Super Bowl. It is my hometown. I just want to throw that out there. And, you know, also that the 76ers are in the playoffs. Again, that is my hometown, too. I'm just throwing some things out there. The Flyers are in the playoffs. I'm just, you know, just trying to make y'all aware of some things that's going on, you know, in my hometown.
Okay.
Somebody said, what a revelation.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so the Phillies ain't doing so good, Tom. So thank you very much for that, right? Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Tom. Phillies ain't doing so good. But that's why we're here. We're going to pray for the Phillies. Matter of fact, we're going to do prayer and fasting for the Phillies. Here we go. Let's go to the book. Y'all ready?
Amen.
Let's have some fun. Y'all ready? Get excited. Let's go. Here we go. So listen to what it says here in John chapter 6 and verse number 1 through 12. We're going to read it. It's a lot to cover. I'm going to read some. I'll probably stop and exhort. I'll probably call someone's name to pick up right where I leave off, and you can continue to read. So stay with me, okay? So after these things, Jesus, he went up over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him. Wow, a lot of people followed him, right? Because they had saw his miracles, which he had did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Teresa, pick up for me, please, at 4.
And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that sat down. And likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, and he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost.
He said, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost.
Yeah.
At a glance, we would oftentimes teach that to be stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
And we would say, which I'm okay with, and we would say the importance of stewardship, right? Because, you know, we just ain't throwing stuff away. We're supposed to be good stewards over what God has to offer.
Yes.
Or what God has blessed us with, right? But today, I just want to share something with you about basically picking up the pieces of your life. Because no matter what it is that you've been through,
yes,
no matter what it is that you have experienced, those pieces have value.
Yes. Yes, God.
Those pieces have value. Sometimes people will follow you for temporal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They'll follow you for temporal reasons. As we noticed at the very beginning, when he says to them, he says, you know, they followed him because of what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
They followed him because of the miracles. They followed him because of the bread, right? They followed him because of all that. And so when you're following people and you're dealing with people because of temporal reasons, there's going to be that relationship, at best case anyway, will be superficial, and it will begin to dissipate in tough times. Are you listening? Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, see, if you really want to know how many friends you have, next time you get in a crisis, pick up the phone and call somebody. You will really find out who's on your side. You'll really find out who's there to support you. You know, because the same people that was, you know, the same people that's telling you, man, yeah, I got your back, I got your back. Yeah, if you need anything, just give me a call. As soon as you send them a text message, they won't even answer the text message. Or they'll tell you, I'm sorry, I didn't get the text message. My Wi-Fi wasn't out or whatever. My Wi-Fi was out or whatever. Or you send them an email and say, well, did you get the email too? Because sometimes in my business, what I do anyway, in my business, I do this. I call you, text you, the email. Now, somebody, you got to lie. Sooner or later, you got to lie to me to say, well, I didn't get any of them, right? And so, you know, but you have to learn. So, you know, when you're following people for temporal reasons, at the end of the day, the relationship is superficial.
Yes.
And what really happened with these people, mentally and somewhat, you know, what really happened was they missed an opportunity to capture the greatest moment of a relationship with Jesus Christ because they were so focused on bread and miracles. But yet, Jesus Christ himself is here, right? He has everything that they need, everything that they want to be, or he has purpose, he has vision, he has all that, but yet we're still focused in on the temporal things. And so what we have to learn to do is we have to, see, we have to really begin to evaluate some of the relationships that we're in.
All right.
And one of the things that I always tell people is simply this: if you really want to know if you're in a good relationship, ask the person next to you and just say to you, how has things been since you met me? How have things been since you met me? Since you came into contact with me, oh baby, you ain't gotta answer that question. I know you're doing. You're doing perfectly fine. You are AOU. Bomb.com, you're doing good. Right. I got this under control. We okay, right? And so, you know, how have things been since you met me? Because the reality is, once I come into connection with you, I'm supposed to either stay in your presence and get better, or if I leave your presence after the season is over, I'm still supposed to be in better shape than I was when I came there. I'm not supposed to come into your presence and connect with you and then leave you more battered and confused than I was when I came in contact with you. I'm supposed to be better. I'm supposed to learn something from you. I'm supposed to pick up on some of your great characteristics and traits and all those things, right? You're supposed to sow a seed into my life to make me better. And this is what Jesus did whenever he came into people's lives. And whenever he came into connect and contact with people, it was to make them better and not to make them worse.
That's right.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
And then listen to this. Here's something you can write down. Never forget that we have a mission to those who are less fortunate than us. And when you look at the text and as you read the text, one of the things that you see happening here is you see Jesus saying, and you see the author saying that when Jesus saw them, he had compassion on them. So he saw this great multitude of people coming. He saw this great multitude of people who needed help. Right? See, the church, listen closely to what I'm going to tell you. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's voice to this nation.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
If we aren't saying anything or if we're not doing anything, then how can people experience or come into a relationship or understand how good God is or even understand his power or his sovereignty or his authority? How can they experience him? They're supposed to experience him through you.
Amen.
But if you keep silent, then what happens? See, it's not about what God can do for us all the time.
Right.
See, we're always praying and we always, you know, Lord, bless me. Bless my house. Bless. I need a new job, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And then we really, really forget because we become so selfish because we forget that there are people who are less fortunate than you. Here, let me let you in a little secret. Don't tell anybody else this. I'm just telling y'all. But don't tell anybody else this. The quickest way to get your prayers answered is to pray for somebody else. Start praying for other people and watch God take care of your need. Start praying for other families and watch God take care of your family. Start praying for other people's finances and watch God begin to take care of your finances. Start praying for other people's marriages and watch God begin to take care of your marriage. Right? He knows every need that we have, and he's going to fulfill those. He's going to take care of them. See, God wants people to be able to experience him through us. Another thing I want you to look at is this question. They asked the question in the text, which was kind of baffling. He said, where shall we get this bread from? So Jesus knew what he was going to do. They had no clue as to what they were going to do. And oftentimes we find ourselves on that same page. Because God knows what he wants to do in our lives, but sometimes we allow the cares of this world and we allow everything else that's going on around us, right? That when he asks us the question, we have no clue as to what he wants us to do. And we're kind of back like, well, Lord, what do I do? But oftentimes when God brings us to that point, it's because he wants to bring us to a deeper level of intimacy and a deeper level of trust. That when the question is asked, Lord, what shall I do? The reply should be, Lord, I'm going to trust you right here.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to trust you right here. I'm going to believe in you. In spite of what everything looks like, God, I know without a shadow of a doubt, you're able to make all grace abound to my good.
Yes,
amen.
In spite of what the economy might be saying, in spite of what everybody else might be saying, God, I really do understand and that I trust you, because what I want to do is I want you to be glorified in this situation. That's what I want. See, we can go to work and we quote scriptures really, really good on the job. We're the best at that. We're the best, what I call. How many of y'all got morning Christians that work on your job? Y'all know what a morning Christian is? Y'all know what a morning Christian is? I just made that up. I'll wait for somebody to say no.
No.
Good. Y'all got the morning Christians on your job? Right. And I'm not being mean towards Christians. Trust me, I'm a believer too. Amen. Right. But you get them in the morning, you see them in the morning. Hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord.
That don't happen in them dinner.
How you doing? Blessed and highly favored.
Not a takeout.
Huh?
Bunch of cream.
And by lunchtime, that done wore off. You see him at lunchtime, say, hey, Doc, what's going on? Man, this is bang, 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 bang. Whoa. Pump your brakes, man. Calm down. It's going to be okay. The same God that was praising the Lord, highly favored this morning, is still the same God. He's still going to bless you. Right? So listen to this. He says, where shall we buy bread? Where shall we buy bread? Right? So the thing that I want you to understand and get from that is this. Embrace challenges.
Amen.
Embrace challenges. Do not walk away from a challenge from God. Yeah. Or matter of fact, don't even walk away when life presents you a challenge.
Amen.
Embrace the challenge. Embrace the challenge, right? It's the best place of learning and increasing of your faith.
Yeah.
See, most people, when they come up to a wall, they come up to an obstacle, they come up to a situation, a circumstance, what they tend to do is they tend to tuck tail or duck head, tuck tail, wherever you want to use it, and they run. Mm-hmm. Right? But we quote this scripture very well, but we do it the opposite. The scripture we quote well is, God has not given me a spirit of
fear.
But when the challenge comes, we go
fearful.
Like the dead cockroach. Right? Upside down. And we get immobilized. And we just don't, I'm so afraid. But what are you afraid of? You don't have to worry about failure. Because there's no failure in God. You don't have to worry about being rejected, because he will still accept you. You don't have to worry about losing anything, because he's the God of recompense and he can restore unto you anything that you lost. So what are we fearful of? No need to be. We say we walk in victory. We say we have peace. We say we have joy. But yet most of us still struggle with fear. We still struggle with it. We still struggle with it. Embracing the challenge does this. It tests our faith. It tests our trust. Our obedience improves our love, our loyalty, and even our power in Christ, that whenever obstacle comes our way, we are able in Christ Jesus to be successful and do what God has called us to do. How many of you know that you have the living God, the Holy Spirit, living within inside of you? How many of you know that? Huh? Somebody say, I got the Holy Spirit living within inside of me. There isn't anything more powerful than that. So if you have that living inside of you, and you're walking, you're living, you're breathing, you have that working for you, you should always be walking at least in victory, or you should always at least understand that you don't have to worry because you are a overcomer.
Amen. Thank you, God. Amen.
Here, listen to this. Write this down. Is it up now? Okay, we're running. Okay. So all that God is, all that God can do, and all that God has is available to you.
Amen.
Did y'all catch that? All that God is, all that God can do, all that God has is available to you. It's available to you, right? It's available. And so here's, and when you look at the text, when you look at it, here's the thing. He took, they had the five loaves of fish, they had the fish, and they had the bread. Right? And so the disciples are saying to Jesus, they said, Jesus, where shall we get all these things? But what they didn't realize that all of, that God was right there, everything that they needed was already available to them.
Yeah.
But they missed it because we spend so much time focusing in on the problem that we miss the solution.
Yes. Amen.
That we fly past the solution. So he says to him, he says, so the God of abundance, listen close to what I'm going to tell you. The God of abundance is not limited in anything. He's not limited in anything. So if you want an abundance of grace, he said, ask and you shall receive, seek you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto me. But what I'm trying to figure out is this the thing that troubles me the most. Why is it still that some of us, not this church, I'm perfect here, but why is it that most Christians, most believers or people in general, or why is it that we are still suffering with lack? Why are we still struggling with getting bills paid? I'm trying to wrap this around this because if I serve the God of abundance, and if the principle of the scripture says, whatever I ask in Jesus' name, this he will do, then it seems to be contrary to what I'm asking that I'm living this way. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm missing it. Because I will literally tell you, and I don't say this pridefully, but I will literally tell you that the spirit of lack has been broken in my home.
Amen.
And a friend of mine called me about a couple months ago, and he said to me, as a matter of fact, he said to me, I told y'all a story about I was getting the heater put in my house. Did I tell y'all a story? I was getting ready to get the heater put in my house. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I got a phone call from a very dear friend of mine. It was early in the morning. It was 2:30 to 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning. I didn't know why he was texting me early in the morning. I'm freaking out why he can't sleep. And so he sent me the text, and I'm telling him, I said, no, I'm up because I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with this heater. And I want to just go ahead and either buy the heater or do I you know, wait for the guy to come? And he's going to spend a couple hours. I'm going to have to pay this kind of money. Said, oh. And the friend replies back to me in a text message. It was a text that has radicalized my life, and it has changed me. And I thank God that God has connected me with this person because the text came back and said, what are you concerned about? Watch what he says. He said, watch this. He says, what are you concerned about? He said, you have a storehouse of wealth.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Now, some of y'all looking at me kind of trying to figure out what I'm talking about. Listen closely to what I'm getting ready to tell you. You have a storehouse of wealth.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you catch it? It's apparently not because you're still sitting here. You have a storehouse of wealth. Everything you need is at the hands of your Father. He will give it to you, and He will make sure that you walk in prosperity, healing, and blessing. Touch somebody and say, I got a storehouse of wealth. The problem is, what's this? You just don't know how to tap into it to get it to come from there to here. I got a storehouse of wealth. Storehouse. Not only do I have a storehouse of wealth, but I got a storehouse of joy. I got a storehouse of peace. Matter of fact, the scriptures even say that all heavenly blessings are working for me and that He has blessed me with a store. Watch this. I got a storehouse of wisdom. I got a storehouse of knowledge. I got a storehouse of healing. I got a storehouse of power. I got everything that I need because I don't serve a limited God. I serve an unlimited, all-powerful, all-knowing God.
Yes, Lord.
Y'all okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
And because I know this, Carly, because I know this, watch this. I can come boldly unto the throne of grace and say, God, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
But I'm releasing my faith. I'm not worried about this giant. I'm trusting you. I know you're going to work this thing out. And I'm going to confess glory to God that this thing has been done, has been written in heaven, and I am not going to be concerned about a tornado.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Huh? Are y'all listening?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
You see, this is why, and when you get that concept, it makes giving easy.
Yes.
It makes giving easy. It makes giving easy, right? And so, because a lot of times we struggle, and we really, a part of the reason why we don't have much is because a lot of times we got tight fists.
Come on now, preach that.
All right, let me go back over here, because when you start talking about money, people get angry with you. I don't want nobody damaging my car today. All right, I'm just joking. But if you want something to come in, you're going to have to send something out.
Yeah.
A boat sitting in a dock is just a boat sitting in a dock. But if you want that boat to come back and bring back some merchandise or some merchants or to explore another land and do some things, you're going to have to untie that boat from the dock. You have to put a sail on it, put a motor on it, and get that boat a compass and send that boat out. And trust me when I tell you, that boat will come back with your treasures and your riches on it. Let me share this with you. One more thing, I'm going to let you go. Trusting God moves us from seeing things in the natural to receiving them supernaturally.
Yes.
Trusting God. So here I am. I'm standing here, and all of a sudden I see whatever it is that pops up in front of me. I just got the notification that they shut me down the department on my job. Wow. Now, that's interesting. Now, I got a couple options. I can either do crying, bite my nails, or I can trust God. Now, if I cry, which is an option, I'll still sit right there. And I'll be crying until they shut that department down.
That's right.
I can bite my nails too. And I'll still be standing right there biting their nails until they shut that department down. Mm-hmm. Or I can trust God.
Yes. Yes.
And when they shut the department down, I can experience the supernatural of Him moving me from that department to another department and causing me to receive a promotion and prosper. And then people looking at me saying, how did that happen? It's because of the God that I serve.
Yeah. Yeah.
and what happens is, what God wants us to do is trust him. He wants us to, he's saying, listen, trust me. Watch this. Here. Hey, Tom, when I was growing up, we had this little phrase coming up. He threw this at you. You might not remember. You're a younger guy than I am. You're a lot younger than I am. But we had this phrase growing up, right? We had this thing growing up, and we should say, God ain't gonna set you up. We should say, people, no, he gonna set you up. No, God is not going to set you up for failure. He's not going to set you up for a letdown. Whatever he gives you, watch this, the Bible says he's able to keep and to make it grow. So whenever he gives you, so whenever he blesses you, you're walking in the purpose and the plan of his life. So trust me when I tell you, if you lose this thing temporarily, he's got something new on this side. You don't have to worry because you're walking in the purpose of his plan.
Thank you, God.
Are you listening? Say amen. That's why I tell you, when problems come, when situations and circumstances come, here's the first thing you want to do. Throw your hands up and say, Lord, I thank you because something getting ready to happen. I don't know what it is, but supernaturally, you're getting ready to turn this thing around, and I'm going to walk in your divine favor.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Huh? Don't give the devil any play.
Yes.
Don't start worrying and trying to figure out, and then all of a sudden, you want to start calling people. Let me make some connections. I know somebody over in this department, and they got a little bit of clout, and maybe they can help me this, that, other. God said, that's not what I'm trying to do. Matter of fact, the person that you're trying to call, I'm going to make you head supervisor. Lastly. See, we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Write this down. This is the last bullet. I'm going to let you go. I got 5 minutes. Listen to this. Whatever has happened in your life, God wants to gather the fragments that remain, that nothing shall be lost. Listen closely. It's been a rough year. Some people always say they've been a rough people. They thought they had a rough year. I can't wrap my mind around that one sometimes. People say, oh, I'm just having a rough year. I'm like, man, maybe come to my church and I'm not having a rough year. But here's the reality. Listen. Yes, we have lived this life, and we're still living it. And every day, it presents challenges. It presents obstacles. There are hurts. There are failures. There are letdown. All kinds of things. And in this life, you're putting your life together, and then all of a sudden, it seems like just when you take one step forward, it seems like something knocks the nonsense out of you and knocks you 2 steps back. And there's no one piece of that fall off of you. And then you try to do something else, and then another piece of the puzzle falls apart. And then another piece of the puzzle falls apart. And another piece, and another piece. And then all these things keep happening. All the hurt. Then there's the rejection. Then there's the disappointment. And then all these things are beginning to happen to you. And you're trying to figure out, Lord, what is going on? But what I'm here to tell you today is simply this. Yes, the pieces may have fallen off. Yes, they may be scattered all over the floor. But listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. God is telling you to pick up those pieces because those pieces still have value. He's going to take your hurt and turn it into healing. He's going to take your pain and turn it into power. He's going to take your poverty and turn it into prosperity. He's going to take your lack and turn it into love. He's going to take your unforgiveness and turn it into forgiveness. He's going to take your bondage and turn it into freedom. He's going to take your upset, being upset and worried, and turn it into joy. He's going to turn it into peace. But all you have to do is pick up the pieces that remain. Pick up your dream. Pick up your vision. Pick up your purpose. Don't allow anybody to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. Yes, there has been a slip up. I made a mistake. Don't know how it happened. I'm not really concerned about it. The only thing I know is that this scripture has told me to pick up the fragments of my life. It's told me to pick it up and move on. It's told me to drive forward and don't quit. It's told me to run the race and don't give up. It's told me to face the challenge head on. I'm going to pick up all the pieces of my life. If I got to pick them up one by one, I'll pick them up. If I got to pick them up two by two, it doesn't matter. I am not going to sit on the sideline and leave my life on the sideline when God has purpose and destiny for me to become somebody great, to become somebody famous, to become somebody anointed to do and achieve the things of God that he has called me to do. Pick up the pieces of your life and put them in your hand and drive on and forget about what anybody else is saying. Touch somebody and tell them, say, I'm going on. I got my pieces in a bag. I put them in my pocket. I put them in my shoes. But I'm going on. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to back up. I'm picking up the pieces of my life. I'm starting all over again because God said I can do it. I still have value. Yes.
Yes.
You still got value.
Yes.
In spite of what people are saying.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Because they don't know the God you serve.
Yes.
They don't know the God you serve. And you know what they're looking at, Johnny? They're looking at all the pieces on the ground. You know why they're looking at the pieces on the ground? Because that's the only thing they can see. Because they're not connected to God the way you are. So while they're looking at the pieces on the ground, God is supernaturally connecting your life back together and causing you to walk in divine favor and reach your destiny.
Thank you, Lord.
Touch somebody and say, I'm picking up the pieces.
Picking up the pieces. Thank you, Lord.
Today,
thank you, Lord,
is the day. Today, Jimmy, today, right? Yes, I've lost loved ones, right? It hurt, set me back a little bit, lost a little bit of money. Doesn't matter. I'm picking up the pieces of my life today, and I'm going on. And get this, watch this. When God told them, he said this to them, he said, gather up the fragments that remain.
Yes.
Because watch this. This is what I'm telling you. He took the initial 5 loaves and the fish, and he did a miracle with that.
Yes.
You just missed it. You just missed it. If he can do a miracle with the if he can do a miracle with the fish and the 5 loaves, what do you think he's going to do with you picking up the pieces? Why do you think he told you to pick up the pieces? Because today is the day that he wants to begin the miracle in your life of putting your life back together.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on and stand to you.
Thank you, God.
Most of us, when we pick up a piece of, most of us, when we pick up a puzzle, we put a puzzle together from the corners. Is that how y'all put a puzzle together? That's what they tell you anyway. Put the puzzle together from the corners. I'm so glad God got to put a puzzle together from the corners. Aren't you glad about that, Celeste? I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he don't have to try to find the corners of my life to put the puzzle together. I'm so glad that because he's God, he can put any piece together and they all begin to just formulate around me. I'm excited about that. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I want to tell you thank you so much. God, thank you for this grace and for this mercy. Thank you, God, for what you're doing today. And Father, I thank you, God, for the message. I thank you, God, today, God, that we understand and we understand, God, and one thing that we know, God, that no matter what it is that we might need or no matter what it is that we may face, you're there to make all grace abound to us. And that, God, if we stand in need of a miracle, you can and will do it. And so, Father, we thank you, God, for what you're doing today. Now, God, bless your people, strengthen them today, guide them, encourage them. And, God, throughout this week, help them to see, and help them to see that you have already begun to put the pieces of their lives back together. And so now, God, they can walk in joy. They can walk in peace. They can walk in power. They can walk in love because, God, knowing full well that you have already begun a good work. And, Father, I thank you for the work that you have done. That was him who was able to keep us from falling from us falling before the throne. To the only wise God be power, your majesty and dominion from henceforth now and forevermore. And all of God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen closely to what I'm going to say to you. I need two people. Give me two people. Just two people. Come on, give me two people. I need you, 2 liters, 2 liters. Come on, thank you so much. I need you. Eric, come on. Come on. Come on, Eric. Listen closely, bro. I want to tell you. Here's what I'm telling you. I'm not sure whatever it is that you may be contemplating with or be concerned about, whatever it is that you talk about, whatever it is. I know that today I will tell you this, after that message, I'm encouraged. Without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. I know that God has put my life back together, and I'm telling you right now, you're going to see a brand new me. I'm going to see a brand new you. We'll see a brand new everything. I'm so excited about what God is doing. Here's what I want you to do, though. I want you to take that message, and I want you to connect your faith with somebody today. I want you to say to them, you know what? God has gathered up the fragments of my life. There's nothing that remains. God is getting ready to bless me. What I want you to do is connect your faith with mine, that I will continue to walk in purpose, and I will continue to walk in his divine plan for my life. That's what I want you to do. I want you to connect with somebody today and say, would you just believe God with me today? Would you believe God with me today that this is the start of my new journey? Believe God with me today for that. That's what you do. And you can do it with somebody that's right there, or you can come up and have someone right here at the altar connect with you, pray with you, believe God for you, and believe God with you. Because after today, here's what I'm telling you. After today, the new you will achieve great heights and great feats in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace. Go serve the Lord. I love you. God be blessed.